Ridiculous, where we talk about the only thing more terrifying than Warhammer, real life. Before we get started, if you want to check out our awesome Patreon down below at patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get excellent things like Discord access, bloopers if they happen, fantastic posters every single month, and more great things. Check it out, as well as our merchandise store at Orcadate.com. Link in the description for all kinds of fantastic merch. DK has assured us today that this will be a short episode, and I, as the kids say, call cap.
I don't think there's any cap to be found here, unless you are wearing one. Are you wearing a cap today?
No.
Because that's the only one you'll find.
I am not a balding, middle-aged Call of Duty streamer who has to wear a snapback to every single stream they go on to.
Oh, that hurts, because I used to do IRL streams and I would wear snapbacks.
It's a very specific demographic I just shot in the face right there, man. And I know exactly what I've done.
In all fairness, I wore you've seen my weeb hats. The one time we met, I was wearing that weeby ass hat.
What was on the hat?
The snapback? It was just a bunch of Japanese stuff from a brand that we are not sponsored by.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, we do sell hats. We should not talk about any other hats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, oh man, that's a deep cut, brother. I wore it in the one episode where I showed my face on Adric too.
I mean,
the drinking one?
I mean, I did not. The snapback part may have been something that is related to you, but the middle-aged Call of Duty YouTuber is a very specific demographic I'm aiming to make fun of.
Okay. I'm also not balding yet. Yeah, that's not why we're here.
No, it's not why we're here. Why are we here?
So, today on Detective Ridiculous, we're covering a topic that, you know, it's a little open-ended, and there are a bunch of theories to it, and I only say this because whenever there's a topic like this, and there are lots of theories, the episode tends to go crazy with the, here's what could have happened, and, you know, we're here for 87 billion hours. So, in the interest of everyone's sanity, like I told them before, I'm gonna try and keep this nice in Kingdom Hearts. That's simple and clean. Just knocked over a bottle. Doesn't matter. We're going with it.
Nice in Kingdom Hearts. What about Kingdom Hearts is simple or clean?
The opening music is called Simple and Clean.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's okay. I wouldn't have expected you to get it because, you know, it's a very weeby game. And anyway, don't worry. The viewers get it.
I'm worried.
It's okay. Utada Hikaru. Anyway, so today we are going all the way back to the 1500s as we discuss the lost colony of Roanoke. Have you heard of it?
I got nothing. Zero.
Okay. Okay, cool. Cool. So, there is a lot of potential backstory we could go over, but we're not going to. We're going to keep this nice and to the point. So, in this time, the English are looking to make this transatlantic trip to America and colonize this little place called Roanoke Island, which is more or less just off the coast of modern-day North Carolina. The trip is being basically funded by a dude named Sir Walter Raleigh, who is being funded by the Queen, but whatever, it's Sir Walter Raleigh's little thing. It's meant to be sort of their first foothold in the New World, and it'll help them secure lots of really cool trade routes, all that sort of colonization stuff. And their first attempt at this goes astonishingly bad, because one, they didn't bring enough food or supplies. So a couple months in, they are running dangerously low on stuff that they really, really need. Thankfully, the Native Americans in the area are friendly enough. They help them with their food shortage. They provide them with corn and all the stuff that they can grow. And, you know, they're being pretty hospitable, all things considered. But the English start to become way too reliant on them, and this starts to be quite the burden on the hospitality of the Native Americans. Long story short, the Native Americans and the English colonizers start to just butt heads about everything. The Native Americans are starting to just, they're like, oh my god, these English colonizers are the worst. They're not doing anything to help. They're eating all of our food, and So it kind of sort of becomes all-out war between them. And the leader of the English colonizers, his name is Ralph Lane, he was kind of a D-bag.
Is this the guy with the massive drip right here?
Actually, I think that's, I think that's Walter Raleigh. I think that's Raleigh, maybe.
He's drip.
Huge D-bag. He starts taking slaves. He starts taking hostages. A couple sources said that he was like, hey, you better start giving us more food. Otherwise, these hostages and slaves, killing them. Also, at some point, they ended up killing one of the tribe leaders, decapitating him, and putting his head on a pike outside of their encampment. So,
Bit of an ass.
Yeah, a little bit of an ass. There's also the problem that the English brought a bunch of disease with them. The white man brought a bunch of disease that the Native Americans were not properly equipped to deal with. So not only is there just Ralph Lane being a total D-bag, but they're also like, oh my God, the English are the embodiment of death. Everywhere they go, our people are just dying. So it's basically now it is all out war between them, and the English are completely outnumbered. They get thrashed and they have to retreat back to England. So their first trip to Roanoke or Croatoan goes astonishingly bad, horrible, awful. They would also, I think they end up leaving like 15 soldiers behind. Just to see if, well, maybe we can salvage something. But when they get back to England, they're still like, you know, we really, 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 yeah, yeah. So they had to keep the rights to the land.
Okay.
But so they're like, you know what? We still really want to colonize this area because, like, we need that foothold. And it's a really good spot, and it's kind of well protected by this outer bank of islands, so it's really hard to, like, see it, but, like, we can still secure trade routes, and we got to get back there. So they're like, okay, we're going to colonize this place, but you know what? Let's not go back to Roanoke. Things didn't go super great the first time. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Chesapeake Bay. You know, that's a little, I think it's a little further north. The natives there, much more friendly, much more welcoming to the English. They're like, you know what? It's going to be better if we do that. So, one of the men who went on this first journey, his name is John White, decides, you know what? I'm going to take 115 to 120 citizens with me, and we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. And I am so confident this is going to be successful. I am taking my pregnant daughter and her husband. Their names are Eleanor and Ananias Dare.
I mean, no one has ever brought a pregnant person over to like a major trip and not had something go wrong. I mean, this is going to go smoothly. Clearly.
Oh, sure. Sure, sure. So confident. Also, the name Ananias, that is the most 1500s name I think I've ever heard. Ananias?
And yeah, that's Anna. See, now we have the simple version, which is Anna.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Well, Ananias is the husband. So, anyway.
Wait, Ananias is the husband?
Yeah, Eleanor and Ananias.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's the husband. But they still had to stop at Roanoke because there's still those 15 soldiers there that are trying to, like, you know, keep the claim to the land and everything. So it's like, you know what? Let's go pick up those 15 soldiers, see how they're doing, see how we can assist. Everything will be going splendidly. They were also taking two Native Americans with them from the first journey because there were a couple of Native Americans that they didn't completely ostracize. Their names were Mantio and Wanchese or Wanchese. I'm going to say Wanchese because that sounds better. And they even got introduced to the queen, and the queen was like, hey.
But oh, wait, Native DK.
Yeah.
Does the queen have that gyat?
She do have that gyat, but she gave it to the Rizzler.
Damn. All right.
Yeah. So she do have that gyat, but the Rizzler has already come through.
We would be hung and burned as witches for saying words like this in this time.
Not even for being witches, just for being... No, we'd be locked in stocks and they would just throw, like, rotten vegetables at us.
They speak witchcraft!
They speak witchcraft! I do not know this Rizzler! It's the devil! But yeah, they were introduced to the queen and she's like, oh, they don't seem so bad. You know, maybe colonization? Okay, yeah, guys, go back, check. So they have about 120 people or so in, like, three ships. And they have their two Native American guides. The return trip goes pretty well, and they do make landfall on Roanoke. But for some reason, the navigator, a man named, it's either Fernandez or Fernandez or something like that, he was just, apparently he was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to Chesapeake. You're staying in Roanoke. And that's the end of it. And I don't know if you could find a reason for why he did this. Like, so everybody respected the navigator and the pilot way more than John White, even though he's the captain. So when Fernandez was like, yeah, we're just doing Roanoke, we're not doing Chesapeake Bay, nobody fought him. Even okay. John White was just like, oh, okay, whatever you say, because John White by trade is like an artist and a painter. So I don't, Shia, if you could elaborate on why Fernandez was just like, no, nope. Nope, we're doing Roanoke. I don't care what you say. That's it. I'm just dumping you. Yeah, so that's why they didn't fight, but I don't know why he was so against going to, like, Chesapeake. Anyway. So John White and the colonists are kind of sort of shit out of luck at this point. And they're like, well, I mean, we got to make the best out of a bad situation, so let's go back to the old Lane colony and let's see what's going on with those 15 soldiers. Let's see what they're up to. Bricky, what do you think they found?
You know, I got a guess.
Yeah, what's that guess?
Death?
Yeah, they basically found that the Lane colony had pretty much been destroyed. They found a bunch of bones. They found all signs of, like, an attack. And it's like, uh-oh, everybody's dead.
Yep. You know, just some casual butchery while we're at it, you know?
Yep. They found the bones. They found obvious signs of attack, and it's like, well, that's not good.
All right, is it casual butchery, or have we entered ranked butchery?
I think we're still... Yes. Yes, they have prestiged, so, you know. But they still have to make do with, you know, somehow colonizing Roanoke, because they don't really have... any other options. So they set up houses and they set up like this big wooden like defensive fence around their little outpost town encampment as protection, and they just try to like mind their own business. Let's not piss off the natives. Let's not do anything crazy. Let's just mind our own goddamn business. Also, if you need a time period, this is like July 1587. So, it's a while ago.
July 15... Where did we get all of these records from, exactly?
I believe that John White actually kept some very detailed records about these journeys. And he also made some very detailed maps that we'll talk about later. So, I think we're going off of John White's records and... probably some of the other survivors, too. Yeah, he was an artist by trade. He kept records and really intricate drawings. He was very good at it.
We've had stories only 100 years ago with less accuracy than this, and so that's why true. I'm like, damn, who's keeping this? Like, who's keeping this on lockdown?
Yeah, it's John White. Yep.
All right.
Anyway, so unfortunately, not long after this, one of the colonists by the name of George Howe. Would end up being killed while he was looking for crabs along the coast. They found his body, and it was, like, littered with arrows, and I think a couple sources said that his skull was, like, caved in with a rock. There's a drawing of what they think it looked like. He was just straight up ambushed.
I don't know why I laugh at that, but for some reason I laughed at that. It's like,
it's very dramatic. It's like the oh, like you know in what is it? It looks Ace, like Ace looks, Ventura, where he gets the
arrows in the legs. Yes. I don't know about you, but it just it feels like a Family Guy skit. I feel like we need another version of the drawing with him face down, like in like the Peter.
Oh, position. Yeah, with his arm behind his back.
Yeah, his arm behind him. Yeah, I don't know. It's just me.
But, so he gets killed. And this is mostly because, like, there's still a lot of, like, little angst from the Native Americans because they kind of remember what the previous tenants were like. And they're like, who's this guy? But John White was like, oh, God, not again. Not again. And he goes into just full recovery mode. He doesn't want another bloodbath. So he gets Manteo and is like, dude, let's go down to Croatoa, which is like, I think it's like a neighboring island where these Native Americans are. Manteo also was a member of the Croatoan tribe. And they're like, let's just resolve this peacefully. Let's smooth things over. Oh, God, please. I don't want to have to flee and do this whole shtick all over again and report to the queen that I effed up again.
Okay, Hank of the Hill is the YouTube poop. King of the Hill episode where I forget which guy it was, but he was like driving some Native American people and he's like, y'all celebrate Thanksgiving? And he's like, we did once.
Once.
And this is the aftermath.
Yeah. And as the story goes, Manteo was able to actually smooth things over. And according to the legend, according to the story, the reason that this raid happened was obviously because, you know, the local Native Americans were not super thrilled with the white man, obviously.
I'm putting it a little lightly.
Yeah.
But DK, it's 2024 and I'm still not very thrilled with the white man.
Fair and valid. Fair and valid. But as the legend goes, it was actually the other Native American guy that they had, one Chase, that was just really not happy with the English, because when he went back with them, he saw everything and he's like, what is wrong with these people? Like, oh man, I hate the English. The only future I can see is them coming back to my native land, drinking it dry, plundering everything, and oh my God, I hate the English. And so it was actually him that led these raiders to attack and kill George Howe. As the legend goes. I don't think it was ever confirmed, but that's the fancy fun story. So, anyway, like I said, with the help of Manteo, things become a little more peaceful. Because they're like, look, this isn't going to go like it was before. We don't have any soldiers. We're going to take care of the land we've got. We're going to grow our own stuff. Look, we have men, women, children. I have a pregnant daughter here. I'm not looking to cause problems. Please, just let us be. And things do settle for the most part. Obviously, things are still a little tense because, you know, George took the big oofie, but we're holding steady.
Is that the scientific term?
Yes. The Umphius Maximus.
Oh, okay. That's right. I wanted to make sure that we had the correct categorization.
I put it in layman's terms with the big oomphy, but Umphius Maximus is the scientific term, I should say.
Okay. Is that the character from Gladiator, Umphius Maximus Meridius, commanders of the armies of the North, general of Felix Legions?
Oh, wow, you remembered all that from it?
Yeah, husband to a murdered wife.
Not to derail this too much, but that is where I first started really enjoying Joaquin Phoenix's acting.
Oh yeah, Gladiator, I think is like still one of his best roles.
Yeah, loved it. Love him as the corrupt emperor. Anyway, but new set of problems has arisen because they made literally the exact same mistake they made the first time. Because guess what? They don't have enough of.
Food?
They don't have enough food, and they don't have enough supplies, and whoopsie daisy didn't bring enough people with us either.
Whoopsie doodly, neighborino.
Yeah,
forfeit your skin.
Yeah, Yeah, and, like, by the time they got there, it was, like, a little, like, it was just too late in the season to plant and grow crops. So they were kind of up a creek without a paddle. And they weren't really ready to go to the natives and be like, hey, guys, can we borrow your food? Can we get some food from you? Because, you know.
Out of curiosity, what was the creek made of?
The creek?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, the creek?
It was made of shit. They were up Shit's
Creek. Oh, they were up Shit's Creek. Okay. I see. Yeah, okay. All right. It should also be noted that on August 18th, 1587, John White's daughter, Eleanor, gave birth to her daughter, Virginia Dare.
Oh.
And she would be the first English child born and baptized in North America.
Okay. All right.
And literally a week after that, August 27, 1587, the colonists convinced John White, hey, man, we need more people. We need more supplies. Go back to England and get them. And John's like, just go back to England, huh?
Just go back to England. Go get them. Go talk to the queen again.
Just make the transatlantic journey by myself. Get more supplies. Get more people. Get the groceries. It's a 2-month voyage back there, you guys. What am I supposed to do? I just got a granddaughter. Come on, guys. But they're like, no, somebody's got to do it, and you're the leader. So he's like, fine. I'll do what I have to do. I'll go back to England. That's fine. And John White actually makes pretty good time because he gets back to England on November 5th. And he wastes no time gathering more people, gathering more supplies. He really loads this ship up. He's like, listen, this is not going to happen again. This problem is done. We're good. It's fine. But John White, not super lucky because new problem arises because he is like just about ready to leave port and be like, all right, time to go back to my family. Unfortunately, there is growing fear in England that the Spanish Armada is readying to attack. And because of these fears, the Queen of England has put a restriction in place that's just like, yo, ships are not allowed to leave port. You're not allowed to leave. We need every ship we can get because if the Spanish Armada shows up, I don't know if you know this, Spanish Armada, very big, very dangerous. She's like, we need every ship we can get. Nobody gets to leave England.
So you don't get to go get food and you get to live in the area with all the people around you that want to kill you.
Yep. And this restriction would keep John White at England for 3 whole years.
Oh no. Wait, was his wife and kid still back there? Not John White.
It's his daughter and his daughter's husband and his granddaughter,
right.
Virginia Dare, are still there. His whole family is back there,
and he's stuck. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he could just desert. You just be like, I'm just sailing away now.
Bye-bye. I'm just going to sneak out. How are you going to sneak out on that big old ship with all those supplies? Like, there's no way.
No, there's no way. Yeah. No, there is no ways, but I imagine he attempted it, minimum.
Yeah, he attempted, but no success. He had no chance. So he was stuck in port until the Spanish Armada had finally been fended off in 1590.
So 3 whole years?
3 whole years.
Oh, boy. It's time to make the trip back, kids.
Yeah, what was supposed to be a relatively quick and easy supply run ended up keeping John White from his family and the colonist. I don't have the attempts with two boats in the notes. I do not. But if you have it, Bricky can read it.
Wait, attempts with two boats in the notes.
I do not. Like I said, I tried to keep it nice and succinct. I didn't get all the funnies and stuff. I was trying to keep this to the point. So let us hear it, Shy.
I'm a little frightened.
I'm assuming he tried to be like, oh look, there's that boat leaving, and then he tried to like go the other direction, like, oh, it's a bait and switch. He's in the other boat. He managed to get two boats to go to colony, but they were poorly equipped, so they tried to rob some other boats for supplies, horribly failed, and had to return.
All right, that's well, all right. That's a little funny. So
he tried.
Sorry, buddy. I know what your goal was admirable, but but yeah, but nah,
yeah,
but nah, so, friend.
Nah, fam. So finally, John White hitches a ride with a fleet of ships that they're going around the Caribbean, and they're just like any Spanish outpost they find. They're like, boom, let's get it. Ha, we got you. And I think two of the ships in the fleet would break off from the main fleet and they would make port at Roanoke. And hopefully they'd be like, all right, let's get back to my family, huh? Let's get back to my daughter and her child. And when they finally made landfall, things were a little eerie, you know? Things were a little quiet here. What's going on? They found some fresh tracks that didn't really lead anywhere. And as they continued to investigate, they found a tree with the letter C-R-O carved on it. White was fairly sure he knew what this meant, but they headed for the settlement anyway and found that this settlement was like gone. It is
like abandoned.
It is the only thing that's left is essentially that big fence that they made as sort of like protection. Everything else, anything useful, had just been packed up and was like gone.
So this is like The Revenant starring Leonardo DiCaprio. No, that was the opening. Did you see that movie?
Nope.
Okay, there's a very, very gruesome and like realistic, like kind of one take fight scene in the battle scene in the beginning where they get attacked by Native Americans, and it's just like
people. Oh, I thought you were gonna say a bear because I remember there was a bear.
There's
thing
also
in it,
the bear. There is also the bear. Yeah. That is a different part of it. But yes, there is also the bear.
It's not like the bear in Baldur's Gate 3, is it?
Oh no, you have that. Isn't that Halston? Don't you have sex with that bear?
You sure do.
Oh no. The bear just beats the shit out of him. That's about it.
Okay. But yeah, the buildings are like stripped to their foundation, like Shai said. Everything is like gone.
Okay, so they packed up. They specifically packed up.
The only thing that was so there was the CRO in that tree, and on the fence that they go up to, there's the word Croa Toa written on one of the fences. Everything else gone, just like the fence, just hanging out there.
Am I crazy? Why does CRO not ring a bell to me? Did you say something that I missed, or are you setting something up?
Oh no, so CRO. So like I said, so there was the CRO on that tree, but also on the fence, the word Croa Toa was also carved in. So in John White's mind, he's like, Croa Toa. CRO,
okay.
Croa Toa. Yep. Croa Toa is written on the fence. He's like, oh, okay. Everything is gone. I don't see any bones. I don't see any signs of a struggle. And also, there was this one source that was like, you know, they were under this understanding because John White, when he left, must have been like, look, something might happen while I'm gone. Let's make this little code system where, you know, you got to give me some hint as to where you're going. And if you are forced out or somebody like is attacking you, put a cross, like this big cross symbol somewhere that I can find. He didn't ever find a cross anywhere among any of these carvings. So he's like, oh, they must be safe. And not only are they safe, they must have gone to Croa Toa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So his plan is like, okay, we'll go to Croa Toa with Manteo, and we'll check on those islands, we'll do a more thorough search and everything, but again, John White, not a lucky guy.
No?
Not a lucky guy. They picked probably the worst time to be on the Roanoke Islands, because as they were getting ready to check out the other islands and set sail, a massive storm picks up, huge storm, and so the waters around this area are already a little treacherous to sail in, because there's lots of these little inlets, there's lots of these little island chains, and now the waters are even worse, this storm is blaring, there is the threat of running adrift, and even when they're sailing, the wind just keeps pushing them further and further out, and they're like, oh my god, we can't look around this area, we're going to get shipwrecked, we're just getting pushed further and further out. And so they can't actually do a proper search, and they have to abandon the search and go back to England without ever figuring out what happened to the colonists.
They go back to England.
They have to go back to England because they just, they can't do it. They can't.
Our boy John, like, wronged the wrong deity in his last life.
Yeah, I don't know what he did in his prior life, but boy, he really, really, really screwed up, because he has just no luck. Just no luck at all.
This is honestly sad, but also, like, genuinely hilarious at the same time.
A little bit, right? It is just a comedy of errors. And again, to keep this short and to the point, you know, after this, there are, in like the next several hundred years, there are tons of journeys that are made to try and recover the colonists or try to determine what happened to them. And a majority of them just turn up super fruitless. Because again, the weather there is bad. There's lots of storms. The water's very difficult to navigate. Some voyages did actually make landfall, but a lot of them were captured and killed by the natives or made to flee. There was one captain that was captured by the Native Americans, and he noticed, or he was told that, like, oh yeah, you know, there we had a few tribesmen that were they wore European clothes, or they had these gray eyes, you know, which is a sign of maybe European descent. And it's like, oh, I noticed some people have kind of like yellowish white skin, and it's like, hey, you know, maybe they reintegrated into these tribes, and that's what happened to them. There was also a little shade thrown at Raleigh, because since he wanted to keep his claim on this land, because it would secure a really, really profitable trade route, he never actually tried to prove that the colonists were okay. He actually wanted to just leave it kind of up in the air and not find out and just leave it ambiguous, because if he did, legally, he could still be like, yeah, Roanoke Island, that's mine. It's mine, because we don't know if they're dead or not, so they're probably alive somewhere on there, so that land, still mine. It's fine.
So he wants the claim.
Yeah, he wants the clout. He wants that clout. He wants that, yeah. And according to Wikipedia, at one point, he claimed he was going on a voyage to search for these lost colonists, but apparently, in reality, he was like, LOL, I'm actually going to go look for El Dorado.
okay, I'm sorry, one more time.
LOL, I'm going to go look for El Dorado. He wasn't going to look for his lost colonists, he was going to look for the City of Gold. Because the money!
It's not about the money, Spider-Man. That's wild to me, just because, I don't know why, but because I played through all of the Uncharted games, and you actually do find El Dorado the third
great
game.
Animated movie too,
also good too, but like, just the idea, I don't know, I know at the time it's the 1500s, things are different right now, but yeah. It's like, Bricky, why'd you stop being a YouTuber? You know, it seems like you had a good thing. It's like, I just wanted to find the City of Gold, brother, like, I'm just
I was just looking for El Dorado, brother.
Yeah,
I know. It'd be like if you were like, oh no, guys, I'm going to stop being a YouTuber and I'm going to go start my own charitable effort. And you're like, no, I'm just going to look for the City of Gold.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just like, you know what? I think the best use of my time right now, we're going to have to go find Shambhala.
I'm going to go look for Atlantis.
It's just the matter of factness about that. It's like, we're going to go find the City of Gold.
El Dorado, huzzah!
El Dorado, baby.
Hell yeah. And. Okay. As he so deserves, he would eventually be found guilty of treason against the crown. So you reap what you sow a little bit.
Oh, did he like get hung or something for it?
Probably. I forget exactly what happened to him, but treason against the crown, he must have been executed.
Yeah, he was probably killed or disemboweled or some fun way back in the day.
He's a whole head shorter now, I think.
Was he killed by the orcs?
Yeah, sure, why not? He was.
Yeah, Shy is the chopping block.
Okay, cool. It was as we thought. He's a whole head shorter. Now, there have been some modern theories about what might have happened to... was that really his last words? What are you waiting for? Chop, you asshole? I'm only a little joking. Wow. He went out as he lived, like a scumbag.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a baller. Anyway, now there have been some, like I said, some modern theories about what happened to the colonists. Were they killed after leaving Roanoke? Did they actually reintegrate into one of the friendly tribes? Or was there something sinister afloat? And honestly, if you look at a map of the area, there's only so many different directions they could have headed in the sort of basic ships that they had, because obviously you can't go back to England. So, like, they can go north and try and get to Chesapeake Bay, they can go south and hit a place called Hatteras Island, or they could go inland. Now, if you head south of Roanoke, you'll find that island that I just mentioned. It's called Hatteras Island, which is where most people kind of assume that the colonists evacuated to. I believe there were reports that when the English finally made one of their voyage to Hatteras, again, not only were there reports from the locals that there were English-speaking people there at one point, there was also, like, this History Channel document, which I know, comments, I know, History Channel is not the end-all, be-all of accurate sources, I get it, like, they had some dudes that were just rifling through the sand and rifling through some stuff and finding old pottery and old sword hilts that were probably brought over by the English, you know, when they relocated from Roanoke. But the problem with that is, like, when they properly date this stuff, they're like, well, some of this stuff is, like, a few hundred years, like, before, and some of this stuff is, like, a few hundred years after. So, like, we don't know who exactly brought this stuff over, so you can't use that as conclusive evidence that the Roanoke colonists were actually here. Still possible and plausible, but, you know, it's possible. And also, I believe they are doing, like, legit DNA testing on people that currently live in, like, North Carolina in that region, and, like, okay, we're gonna test your DNA, we're gonna see where your bloodline goes, and, like, ooh, your DNA, you've got some Native American DNA in you, and you're also of white descent, so hey, maybe this is where they came, and maybe this is where they reintegrated, and maybe this is where they started, you know, making new families and new lives. There's also another possible relocation spot that didn't become a potential theory until right around 2011. Like we said, John White was really good artist, and he made insanely detailed maps of the region that showed, like, where all the native tribes were, how to navigate the waters, and stuff like that. And in 2011, they see this map, right? And this map has this weird little spot that's covered by another piece of paper. And so they're like, what is this? And when they remove this little piece of paper, there's, like, this star X underneath it, which denotes, like, the location of a fort or some sort of fortification. This site would come to be known as Site X.
Really? That's it? That's all they decided to name it?
Well, from what I read, they called it Site X because X marks the spot, because it's an X symbol on the map, so this is Site X.
How boring. They get some new material.
I know. But hey, what are you going to do? 2011, right? They thought the world was going to end in 1 year. Anyway, and although there were plenty of digs done in the area, and they did, again, they found pottery, they found weapon hilts, same problem. There's nothing that definitively ties it to the right time period. There's just nothing that really puts it in the right spot at the right time. In the area of Site X, though, there were some infamous stones that were found. I think it was maybe a mile out of Site X. These stones, they're called the Dare Stones, had the supposed last message of Eleanor Dare on them, carved into them, had these messages that said, oh, my husband and my child and most of the colonists have been killed by the natives, and if anyone ever finds this stone, please send word to my father and let him know what happened to us.
Why did you say that like you were pitying him? You said it in such a way that was so like, and my husband and wife, they were killed. Oh, boo hoo, woe is me.
Well, it's a sad thing.
No, but you said it like you didn't care. Like you did it in this very like oh well, no, I'm dying.
So the reason I say it like that is because there were some 48-ish stones like this that were found.
Oh.
And I think 45 or 46 of them were proven to be forgeries.
Oh.
They were proven to be fake. Now, to be fair,
they had copycats even back then?
Yeah. To be fair, the first two stones that they found with those messages on them, they haven't been proven to be forgeries, but they haven't been proven to be legit either. And because there were so many forgeries that were in the area, they were like, well, there's a fair chance that those first two were a big hoax too. Because, you know, this must be a big nothing burger, because if 99% of the stones are fake, why would the first two be real?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. You lack a little bit of burden of proof.
Yeah. Which is why I sort of gave it the sarcastic treatment.
Yeah, that's fair. I was like, damn, dude, like no sympathy.
Okay. Shai puts, the committee, as politely as possible, declared the stones to be fake, largely on the use of two words, trail and rencontre, which were not in the English language for a century or more after 1590. So they were using words they shouldn't have known.
Yeah, all right. That's fair enough. I'll give you that.
Yep. And honestly, to this day, some people aren't even sure that, like, we know even the exact spot where the Roanoke colony was. Given how much time has passed, some people think that the exact spot of the colony has just eroded away, and people have the wrong starting point. They don't even know the right starting point to look for if any of that Roanoke colony even still exists. There was also another source that had like a really good bit on this that was like, you know, it makes sense that you don't know exactly where Roanoke is, because if you looked at maps at the time, they wanted to hide exactly where the Roanoke colony was because the Spanish Armada. The Spanish Armada, they're always looking for English colonies. They're always looking for places that the English are setting up shop. So it makes sense that you wouldn't be like, oh, on the map, let's put big Roanoke colony. This is where our foothold to the New World is. This is where our trade route is. You want to keep that as hush-hush as you possibly can. Which that same source was just like, that's probably why they covered up that X, is because if that was a fortification, if that was a place that they had hidden, well, you don't want that to be on the map, because if it falls into Spanish hands, they're going to know exactly where your fort is and exactly where to attack. Cover that shit up, and no potential leak for the Spaniards. So,
okay. All right. I get
it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have some people that think that...
Aliens?
Yep. Actually.
Oh, really? Actually?
Yeah. Some people think...
Yeah, alien abductions.
That the X mark on the spot was actually to denote a landing spot where mass abductions happened, and the colonists were just taken up into a spaceship, never to be seen again.
Now that is the sarcastic, pitying tone that I was referring to.
Yeah.
Shy has a thing. May I?
Yo, you may. You may.
I like the theory that they bailed on a boat. There was a French colony that also failed horribly, and colonists said, fuck this shit, we getting out of the new world. And this one, built a horrible, shitty, hole-filled boat, and somehow made it all the way back to Europe. There are plenty of sailors and handymen in the colony. The entire colony was deconstructed, so maybe they took the houses apart, built a boat, and sailed away, or maybe just settled in some other part of America.
Could be, sure.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm more of the opinion that they broke down their place. Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, could the Native Americans have broken it down? I could totally see they get attacked, they get killed, and then the Native Americans, either one of two reasons, they either break down the place because one, all of this man-made stuff is kind of an affront
good
to their
supplies anyway.
Well, I was thinking more of an affront to their civilization there specifically. Or it's a whole bunch of lumber and logs and stuff that they could use for their own thing.
Problem is that John White found no bodies, he found no weapons, and he found really no sign of an attack at all. Like, it wasn't just that he didn't find the cross symbol. He found nothing to indicate that...
Yeah, no bones, no nothing.
No bones, no corpses.
That's true.
No, yeah. I think at Site X, that area around there had some hostile tribes, too. So it's possible that if they went to Site X, they might have been attacked. And that's why the Dare Stones would be believable to be there. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. There's that. There's also like, because you think like, okay, maybe they packed up shop and then they went to go move and then they were attacked and killed. But what you don't pack up shop in a way where like you strip bare your place. You go and you build up a new area and then you strip down your other place, right?
I mean, to be fair, when you're already low on supplies, though, you got to take everything you can, right?
Yeah, but that makes a good point for the boat concept.
That does, because you need all that lumber to make the boats. There was this really good video. I wish I could remember who did it because, you know. But they were like, you know, the most plausible theory is that they just all scattered. Like, some people went north to, like, Chesapeake. Some people went south to Hatteras. Some people went inland to Site X, and that's why you have little pieces of English pottery and weapons like scattered all over the place, is because maybe in their confusion, they were like, no, we should go north. And some people were like, no, screw that, let's go south. And some people were like, no, let's go inland. And they all just kind of went their separate ways. So, you know. But that's the thing with this one, is like, there's no answer. There's no... confirmation of anything. There's just a lot of weird pieces scattered around that we can neither confirm nor deny anything about. There's no magic. There's no serial killer. It's just poof.
I think I'm kind of shy on this one. I kind of vote for the boat.
Vote for the boat.
For the boat. It sounds a little implausible, but when you are that desperate. Mm-hmm. When you need to leave, you need to run and get past all of that crap. Yeah. I mean, you got to break it down and just bam, bam, bam. I don't know. Like,
maybe. Who knows? You could be right. Could be wrong. We'll literally never know. Probably.
I don't know. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, again, this isn't like, oh, look at the, you know, like a lot of our episodes, it's like, oh, this vicious murder and blah, blah, blah. And this one is just like, well, John White had shit luck. He sure did.
The funniest part about the word for it. But the funniest part about this is just John White getting his ass trapped in England.
That was such a, oh man.
It's I think like, it sorry, was, buddy.
Yeah, I think the order literally went out as he was getting ready to set sail, too. Like, he was ready. Yep.
It's the Area 51 of Colonial History. Adrian Kinda. Masters, Historian, University of Texas.
Yep.
I'm hoping they mean Area 51 as in, like, a site of unknown doings, as opposed to this is where the aliens are.
Yeah, probably. Oh, that's true. Like, the Europeans had all that sickness and disease that they brought with them. So them integrating, I didn't really think about that.
Oh.
That
is wacky. And it doesn't help that this is 500 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, right? Like, this is another one of those mysteries that it's a mystery because, well, it's just been a really, really long time. And back then, it's not like they could, like, dust for fingerprints. They didn't even know what fingerprints were back then.
That's
like,
true. All is
you
dust.
Had no chance. Yeah. All is dust. Magnus did nothing wrong.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did. He literally did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong.
He did it wrong. He did nothing very wrong. What an idiot. Anyway, Lost Colony of Roanoke, huh?
That is actually a little bit... I don't know. I didn't necessarily assume that that would be the whole Lost Colony style, but, I mean, they are a colony, and they are most certainly lost.
Yep. They are probably lost to history as well. Not only did they get lost, it's history will probably never know what really happened to them. They are forever lost in the warp.
You know, that would explain it. And, a warp portal opened up and just... threw them all in.
Which chaos god would look to prey on colonial English people?
Okay, well, let's think. They were under siege. They were running low on food, and so they're mm-hmm. praying to save them from imminent danger and also starvation. So there's a bit of fear mm-hmm. there.
Bit of fear. Well, they are also the white man does bring disease.
But they were the white man.
True. So maybe Nurgle was like, hey, I see what you guys have done with your disease, and I'm a big fan.
I don't
maybe
think you wanna... so. This feels Tzeentch coded to me.
Oh yeah, Tzeentch. Also Tzeentch should be like, you know what would be funny, guys? Tell him you're in Croatoa. Put CRO on the map.
They're not even close to Croatoa. They just put it on there. That'd be so funny.
It'd be so funny. You put CRO on there, and also don't leave that little marker that says that you're under duress. They'll never solve it. They're gonna be thinking about this in 2,000 years, dude. This is gonna be the funniest shit ever.
Yeah. Also give them 50 tablets. And make, like, only two of them correct, but make sure that the two of them have errors so they think they're not correct. So it's one of those other 48 are correct, but
we're going to... Okay, guys, write the first two, and then me, Tzeentch, I'm going to write the other 45 using words that you can't possibly know, so no one will believe any of them. This is going to be great. Yes, it's so Tzeentch coded. This is great. Yeah, we cracked the code, dude. We know what happened to the Lost Colony.
We did exactly the opposite. We did not crack a thing. There is no code that was cracked. That's why it's Tzeentch coded.
Ah, fair enough. But we solved the mystery. Tzeentch did it.
Tzeentch did it. Lovely.
Told you it'd be a short episode.
You know what? It was kind of a short episode. And us babbling here is going to make it longer. So perhaps we should give Shy a break.
Oh, fine. Go ahead. End the episode, why don't you? End the episode in Japanese, Bricky.
I don't know how to say that.
You can't even say sayonara?
That's just goodbye. It's not really an ending episode.
Goodbye!
Sayonara.
Is that so hard?
Bitch.